This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. We listen to Shine by Newsboys, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I did it, Joe.
Consider the source.
Hey.
Consider the source.
Everything.
Consider the source.
Wanna get in the bathtub?
Consider the source.
There's a reason erasers don't work in your fart.
Check. Consider the source.
Stop it, correct!
That was, of course,
Kevin.
Last week's guest as a little tag onto our theme song, Kirk Franklin, who is now an official part of the Good Christian Fun theme song and
the,
a co-composer.
The extended universe.
We have stolen his music. We have truly carried on the Christian tradition of stealing a man of color's music and making it our
God.
Own without compensation. No. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have some good Christian fun. Good
more Christian than that.
Hey, come on. We're here to colonize your ear holes, baby. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But listen, we're not here to make fun of you. We're not here to make you go to church.
No.
We're nice. We're fine. It's
we're
safe.
Here to just, you know, remind you of times gone by or to listen to something so you don't have to.
Nostalgia. We're making something great again. And it's
I feel like
memories.
The internet hasn't mined nostalgia yet.
See, so we wanted to corner the market on remembering something and then just kind of saying, remember that? Yeah, that happened. And isn't it interesting to reflect on it now?
Can I tell you a real frustration I had?
Yes.
Is you sent me
with
a
our
TikTok
show?
The other day. No, you sent me a TikTok the other day. That was funny. And it was just a guy talking about VeggieTales. And he was like, POV, you know, I'm talking about VeggieTales in my car. And all he says is just like, Bob the Tomato is a Christian or whatever. And they love Jesus. End of video.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me so mad because I was just like, all somebody has to do these days is mention Larry the Cucumber or mention Bob the Tomato. 500,000 likes on that video. Big boost. big career coming for that kid. And I wax poetic on Larry the Cucumber week in and week out on this show. And where's my likes? You know, where's my career?
So
if you guys put together like a business plan,
yeah,
where you try and reboot VeggieTales.
Now,
unless
that,
it's still going.
It's is still
it, well,
going.
Well, it's been rebooted a few times, but not with the GCF touch.
Not
I'd
with
say.
The GCF touch. What if the vegetables were disgusting monsters in this incarnation of it?
What if they were just nostalgic over old episodes of VeggieTales?
Hey, Bob.
Don't
you remember
that one
time?
Yeah, they do commentary on their old episodes.
This is leading to an episode in which we ultimately do commentary on the first episode of Good Christian Fun or something,
oh,
and
man.
The audio plays under. I know I've heard podcasts like that where the audio of a previous episode plays under the podcast.
I feel
like
as a listener, that would be so confusing.
No, it rules. You make it low enough so it's not just like 20 voices at the same time.
But like to differentiate between present day Caroline versus past Caroline, you know?
I've heard podcasts do it too. I know that Hollywood Handbook has done it, and I know that You Talking You Two to Me has done it.
Yes,
but in
did.
Both examples, I feel like they constantly thought that the other was asking them a question because they were listening to the old audio.
Yes.
That would roll.
Yes, that too. Uh-huh.
Well, and to be efficient, we would want to play like two episodes at the same time so we can do a two for one.
Right.
So we're playing.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We're listening
Maybe
to the audio.
Maybe our commentary could be us doing silly voices, and that way you can differentiate between us now.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Something like that, hey. You know.
I heard an episode of a podcast once where they did the entire thing with vampire teeth in. Maybe you could do that.
That did works. It sound like That's Bohemian Rhapsody starring Academy Award winner Rami Malek?
It was horrible. The whole thing.
Starring
like,
those
because,
chompers.
Because those tiny plastic vampire teeth, they make you drool really bad. And so they were just they were just going the whole time.
Well, we need to up the stakes. We need to raise the game in 2021.
Is that a vampire joke, by the way?
We need to raise the stakes and plunge them into the hearts of the listeners, Mr. Gold.
We need to look in the mirror, really look at ourselves.
It's Good Christian Fun. It's Singles Ministry, where we talk about one song so we don't have to make the guests do that much before they come on. In terms of research, so the barrier for entry is low. And we got a barrier for entry high sort of guest. So let's introduce
Ooh-wee.
The shit out of him right now. Friends and folks, you may know him from his podcast, Reply All. He's a tech support extraordinaire. Give it the hell up for Alex Goldman.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I feel like I should have gone way harder than I just did. If I want to be part of the theme song, I'm going to have to really whoop it up.
You got to bring that Kirk Franklin energy.
Oh, it's not that hard. You can just request to be a part of the theme song. We'll probably make you a part of it as I struggle every week. Like, what would be funny here? I don't know. As a tech. It wouldn't be too hard. I was thinking something. He betrayed Jesus for 40 pieces of himself. For gold, you know, but I thought that might read a little too anti-Semitic, so I didn't.
It's fine with me. I'm not mad about it.
All right.
That works.
Yeah, I mean, what can we do? This is, you know, this is you guessing on our show. It's also a clinic. We're talking to a man who changed the game forever in the medium with Reply All. We're talking to a man who flew to India for an episode of his show. We're talking to a man that... Wait, was it you that microdosed LSD, or was it your
No,
your
it was
pal?
PJ.
It was PJ. But you've done
My
insane
co-host.
Things. You've given
Who
over...
partnered with an LSD.
You've given over so much of your life, your body and soul to your show.
You're a composer.
Yes.
That's true.
So what can GCF do in 2021? What is your Goldman Nugget piece of advice to us?
Yeah.
For how?
I mean, I don't know. The one thing I would say is, like, don't go to India. It sets a bar that is so high... that everybody's like, I remember when they used to do cool stuff, like go to India, and now they just like sit in their attics. And I'm like, 500,000 people have died in the past year. Give me a break.
You should do an episode that is as kind of hyped up as the Go to India, the call center one, but it's you like going to the Starbucks on the corner, like
Ooh,
from like
yeah.
0.5 miles from where you live. Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
Like,
yeah.
I do like the idea of just don't level up. Too high, you know.
Keep people's expectations low, and you never disappoint them. That is basically how I've lived my entire life.
Hey, well, and this is interesting too for us because our previous episode that we aired last week, we interviewed gospel icon Kirk Franklin, who somehow did our show, and we don't know why. His people truly did reach out to us for that, and we're like, hell yeah,
that's
sure.
awesome.
I do think it was a mistake.
And we're keeping the, you know, the gospel roots guest rolling with Alex Goldman the following week. And so how do we just keep the momentum here? Is it just booking? Is it just like, and the thing I say, Alex, the thing I keep pitching to Caroline for this year that she's not as into is that we pivot to Borat in 2021, that we have people on that we do not align with ideologically, which we already kind of have, you know, and we play to that given circumstance, but she's not into it.
Get them to make a fool of themselves.
Yes.
That, I mean, that I feel like that takes such incredible, delicate, like, right. I think it takes a lot of talent.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that you guys don't have it.
No, but I don't have it. That's why I told Kevin, I can't do it.
I just think it'd be really draining.
No, it would come at a cost. It would. I agree.
Kevin
with that.
Is ready to pay the price. He is like, take the soul, take the blood from my veins. I will do it. I will lie. I will do it all. And that's fine. I think that can be, you know, a heroic effort. But I really feel sick if I'm dishonest in the smallest of ways. And so I cannot handle it.
We wouldn't be dishonest. We would be satirical. And those are very different qualities.
No. Nope.
I'd somehow start feeling bad for them, and then I'd be like trying to make them look good. Like it would backfire.
Satire something. Does not make you a sad liar, Caroline. Remember that. For the following guests that we're going to
Did you just come up with that?
I did. I did, yes.
That's just why he could Borat and I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you could be Maria Bakalova. What's her name? Maria Bakalova? She's probably going to get nominated for an Oscar because this year's so weird. His daughter.
Yes, yes.
Borat,
I don't know what
too.
Her name is, but
yes.
Yeah. I don't know her name is.
Did you watch Borat 2, Kier?
I did.
Yeah.
I Borat it out.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
Parts of it were very funny.
Alex, I'm also excited to have you on the show. I'm a longtime listener of Reply All, big fan. And
Thank
I've
you.
Always seen myself as the Alex of this partnership that I have with Kevin.
How so? Speak on
I'm also a little nervous about what
I
that
truly
might mean.
Don't know. I don't know what it means. It's an energy, it's a posture, it's something. It's, you know, constantly being berated by your co-hosts in a way that's both personal and hurtful.
That's true.
I mean, y'all are both married and your co-hosts are single, so that is a dynamic. That's
true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
are you like an absolutely credulous dolt like I am? Cuz like if someone in an interview is like, "Listen, I know that I'm holding this bloody knife and there's a corpse next to me. I didn't murder them." I'm like, "Oh,
yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, what happened there?" And they're like, "I don't know. He fell." And then a hole in his chest opened up, and I'm like,
"Oh, all right. Yeah, I will radically agree with things that I do not agree with all the time with our guests, all the time. Yeah,
yeah, that's why.
That
okay,
yeah.
our pivot to Borat might just become us becoming an alt-right show on
Ashley. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's
Caroline's
what
just going to become a white supremacist.
I love you, Mr. Metaxas. Thanks for doing the show,
Kirk Franklin. Your worship sessions, I think they did change people's lives, and I think they did open hearts, and that was a good call.
Oh, what? Like his maskless ones? Did he do something like that?
No, I'm just referring, to the old Christmas ones.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, love
by the way, sorry, real quick, Kirk Franklin side road.
Yeah.
Did you see on his Instagram that he has gently floated the idea of moving out of California? And he was like asking his followers, like, state should I move to?
Caroline, you're thinking of Kirk Cameron. You said Kirk Franklin.
Oh, I met Kirk Cameron.
Oh, so you've been thinking, you've been saying Kirk.
Have I been saying Kirk Franklin this whole time? Oh, okay. Mm, no, yes. Sorry. I meant Kirk Cameron. Can you go back and dub that over this,
no,
like,
I can't.
Past 2 minutes?
And that's why we need to pivot to Borat in 2021.
We need an employee. Yeah.
Yes. Kirk Franklin, star of Growing Pains and star
Kirk Cameron.
Of-
you just did it.
Oh my God. See, well, I was trying to make you feel supported and loved and respected. And wasn't that nice of me to do
nice
that?
Nice save.
Yes.
Oh, maybe you're not a PJ after all.
Hey. I don't know what that means. Yes, but Kirk Cameron is thinking about moving to Texas like many of his brethren. Ben Shapiro's all the alright boys are getting out of Joe Rogan moving to Texas as well. I believe Elon Musk too. Or he's just getting
some property there. I really do think that this is all just prologue to a civil war. I mean, I hate to be dark, but I do think it's just people being like, "Well, I want to move to places where people are ideologically like me."
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, and there's some tax stuff to it too, right? Because Texas is much more lax on tax. as far as that stuff goes. So,
yeah.
Well, we look forward to it. Maybe this will be part of the historical document of how
it got
there.
Forward to Civil War.
Isn't that interesting? Hey, listen, I watched Lincoln last night for the first time. You know, there's Civil War in that. So.
Civil War,
my
not
favorite
so bad.
Thing about that movie is just that Daniel Day-Lewis, in the interest of historical accuracy, read somewhere that Abraham Lincoln had a high voice. So
oh, that voice. Oh, that voice.
So the whole movie is like, Lincoln! He's like, oh, hello.
Oh, we must free the slaves. Which I thought was a choice. No, I know what you're saying. Yes.
And a dialogue heavy movie, too.
What's it called? That made me think of The Run by Fruiting from Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's right. Oh, yes. Rest in peace.
And one of my coworkers, this is, I think, she really underplays it, but my coworker, Fia Benin, was an extra in the Run by Fruiting scene.
Oh.
Can you imagine how if that were the case for me, I'd lead with that. If you were like, if you wanted to introduce me on this podcast and I was an extra in the Run by Fruiting and Mrs. Doubtfire,
first credit.
Like, please. Yeah.
Everybody would know.
He was an extra in the Run by Fruiting scene in Mrs. Doubtfire, and he hosts the Reply All podcast.
You would take a screen cap, you would blow it up to a 27x40 poster. You would give it to people as gifts for Christmas every year. That would rule. That'd be so cool. Yes. Yeah. Well, dialogue heavy movie, Caroline, because it's written by Smoking the Kush himself, Tony Kushner, from Angels in America fame.
I thought you were going to say it was written by David Mamet.
It was. Can you imagine? Free the slaves. Fuck you. Free the slaves. Free the slaves. We got to free the slaves. Fuck off. We're not freeing the slaves. That's all it would be. Yes, Alex, we would love to hear. If you have any background at all with religiosity, with religion, with faith stuff at all.
I'm sure that there are people who've probably outdone me on the show, but like, it's hard to find someone who is like less religious than me.
In your entire life?
I don't think I've ever attended a church service.
You've never stepped inside a church, a synagogue.
I've been inside a church.
Okay, you have. Okay. Now the story's changing. This is interesting. And this is
four
sort of
weddings.
Journalistic standards we're going to bring when we
see Kevin caught
that.
Oh,
I see. Oh, that's a loophole. The classic loophole.
So my mom, it grew up in an Irish Protestant family in West Virginia. My dad grew up in a Jewish family in Detroit. And my grandparents, who were the most religious of anybody in the family, like, were not at all religious. Like, there was no prohibition on eating pork in their house. There was no going to temple. There was no bar mitzvah for me. Like, none of it. My parents, my dad made like a half-assed attempt at some point after my parents got divorced to like light the menorah and do the, I don't even know if it's a prayer, to say the thingamabob
say
when
the
you
thing.
Light the menorah. And
hit that thing one more time, Dad.
I'd like to think it was so half-assed. It was just like seven Yankee candles. He got a Target last minute.
Mazel tov. Yeah. But like, it really, like, my grandparents are very, they feel very strongly associated with the culture of Judaism. All their family and all their friends are Jewish pretty much. But there was no religious fervor in my family whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I also grew up in a college town, a fairly liberal town. And I think I was taught for a very long time to be distrustful of religion and of people who
which,
are
which
religious.
Town is this?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, I lived in Michigan for a little bit. What do you remember of them like explaining to you about religion that made you feel like, oh, I should be wary, you know, or think about it?
If you grew up in a college town, like, religion is so absent that the only time it's present is like when there's a street preacher. And to me, I was just like, ugh.
Oh,
that
right.
Is,
yeah.
That to me is just like, there was no soft entrance to religion for me. I mean, I think it's like a real net negative. Like, I don't know a lot about the Bible. I've tried to read it a couple times and have had very little luck because it is a slog.
Why did you try to read it? Was it for a particular project or just your own curiosity?
It was for my own curiosity, and because, you know, I do like to read, and pretty much every great book has many, many allusions to Bible stories. And I was like, I should probably know this text.
Who's this Kane guy? And Abel? Like, he seems like an interesting character. I got to brush up on this.
I know the big guys.
Yeah. Goliath.
Like, let me ask you a question. Like, yes, the big guys. Goliath being the biggest of them all. Like, when you went and saw The Matrix and the ship was called the Nebuchadnezzar or whatever, were you like, I know what that is?
Oh, that fucking got me off so big when I saw that. I was like, this is about Christianity, baby. Tossing around religious imagery as a shortcut to death. I love it. Arcade Fire, get at me. All that.
I feel like what you're explaining is how I feel when a lot of people describe like Greek mythology too, of like, I know this is referenced all the time of these guys and like Romulus and Remus and like all these people, or that's probably not even Greek, that's probably Roman. And I'm just like, I'm at a loss, and I probably should read these classics someday just so I have like a baseline understanding of every story, but there's a slog, so what are you gonna do?
The last thing I did before the pandemic was go see Hadestown.
I was like,
this is great. Lots of great sets, great music, great acting. I really wish I knew the story of any of these characters.
Is that just all mythological characters in that play?
Mm-hmm. It's like Hades and Hermes and so on and so forth. And they're all acting out their stories, but it's set in this sort of like 1930s-ish kind of industrial.
Oh, okay.
Mining town almost.
Well, yeah. If you guys are really interested in making Greek mythology accessible to a broad audience, I have a Act Now petition for y'all to sign where we're rebooting Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief. It's been a few years since the last film came out, and it's been too big of a gap, and we want to get back on it.
We need it. We need more.
I heard that was like a real tragedy for Percy Jackson fans.
Oh, yeah. The jack-offs, which is what the fandom is called, they were devastated when that last movie
I don't know if this is a joke.
You don't know if saying the jack-offs
if
were devastated
the jack-offs
was a joke?
The jack-offs are broken, the community.
And it's actually offensive for me to use that term because it's their community. I'm not even like, and I do love it, but I'm still a new member
that.
And I'm learning and I'm listening, so I'm not exactly sure. So, okay, like a nominal interest in it. Didn't really do it for you. Did you come to like a like an atheist or agnostic kind of POV as far as like the world goes?
It's weird, and it's a thing that I think about a lot with my kids, is that like religion is totally absent. And I have to explain, Harvey just turned six. He turned six last weekend, actually. And I'm starting to have to explain to him the concept of God and prayer. These are things that come up in movies and in books.
Oh, yeah.
We were reading Streganona. Do you know Streganona?
No.
Sounds delicious.
It is a delicious book. It's a book about a magic pasta pot.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a book about a witch that has a magic pasta pot. She lives in Italy. She lives in like a town with a nunnery.
Oh.
And at one point, so she has a magic pasta pot, but you have to say magic words to make the pot stop boiling over with pasta. Uh-huh. And the dumb guy from town that she's taken on as a caretaker for her house, Big Anthony, he doesn't know the magic words to make it stop. And so she goes away and he says the magic words to make the pasta start coming, but he doesn't know how to make it stop. So the pasta starts taking over the town. The pasta's just going everywhere. Uh-huh. And the nuns started praying. The nuns start praying because the town is going to be taken. Everything's going to be smothered by pasta. And Harvey was like, what's praying? And I was like, that is a real heavy concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it makes me, I'm like constantly considering what it means to have kids that not only don't have religion in their lives, but don't really even have spirituality. I think of myself as just kind of like, I just think I live in a natural world, and I think of the natural world as being the beginning and the end.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm doing right by my kids by not letting them at least explore the ideas of the metaphysical.
That's interesting. Yeah. But I would imagine you're the kind of person, and then you would be the kind of father that wouldn't just shut it down if they were open to something or curious about something. You wouldn't just say, this is all there is, I'm certain of it forever, goodbye. Like, or are you saying that is a tact that you're tempted to take?
No, I wouldn't. But like my own experience is that I never did get super curious about it. And I'm like, it's not like a regret I have, but it is a thing where I'm like, am I, is my closed-offedness toward this particular thing, which I think is incredibly enriching and important in people's lives.
Yeah.
And I don't want to discount it. Like, I'm not a person who's like, well, religion causes people to be to hate one another and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it serves a valuable community function. I think it serves like an incredible value, like a valuable moral and ethical function in a lot of ways. I'm just like, is me being so separate from it going to affect my kids? Yeah. I worry about it. I don't know. It's a weird thing to even have to think about.
Totally, because that is like, it comes up all the time on the show in the sense of the sort of threshold or the deadline for at least having some sort of articulable understanding of worldview and religion is children, is the kind of urgency with which people want to be able to communicate what they believe or don't believe to their kids in some way where it's like, you're not messing them up. And the answer to the question of, will it affect your kids? The answer is yes, it will affect your kids, but like positive or negatively, I don't know. Like I'm kind of the mind, I wonder if it'd be more analogous. It's a clumsy analogy, but it's like, you wouldn't need to be queer yourself to have queer children, you know what I mean? Like, and to like create a loving, safe environment,
yeah, that's
to
true.
Raise them in. As long as like, it's like, hey, I'm not gay and you're, you know, but we support and love blah, 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 blah. You know, like it could be like that, I guess, if you wanted it to be. I don't think you're adversely affecting it right now, just with its absence. And that'll be something that'll be a journey for themselves, and that'll be college, and that'll be young adulthood, and they'll either become like you or rebel against you in some way, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot about what kind of rebellion they're going to have. Like, I feel like funny. A pretty chill dad.
They're going to become really uptight. That's what I worry about, actually, sometimes. It's like, I wonder if I will be so out there and like liberal and progressive at the point that I have children that they will like crave conservative values in order to like rebel against how they've been raised or something. I don't know. Maybe they will.
I mean, you would hope not. But yeah, there'd be core feelings that they would inherit, and then the worst parts of it they wouldn't.
Alex, do you think post-pandemic you would take your children on a religious discovery tour? You could take them to the Creation Museum. You could take them to a Catholic service.
I think I'd have to do all that stuff myself first. And I will say that my wife, Sarah, her family's Catholic. And Catholic to the point where like they will do Catholic services at weddings. There will be like a Catholic service as part of the wedding. So that is sort of the most religious stuff I've had to do. And let me tell you something. I know it's not appropriate because I'm not supposed to be able to do it because I'm not baptized or whatever, but I want to eat one of those communion wafers so bad.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Wait, can I?
It's a special treat.
Yeah. Can we tell you, just like from insider to outsider, they taste like chicken. Isn't that weird?
Mine tasted like fudge.
Wait, yours did? Oh, I heard about this one. Oh, man.
Yeah.
See, there's all these Christ different bod, sort of sacraments delish. Spread across the
I'm
country.
I'm trying to be, there's a part of me that wants to be like, oh, yeah, well, you should try my fucking unleavened bread, but. No one's fooled
by that. I
will
say, though, is the communion bread that I've had at every like Protestant church I've gone to is real bread or a cracker, and those rock. But then the wafer that I had at a Catholic service, and this is on purpose, I think, is like a flavorless, it has the texture of styrofoam, basically, and you just like pop that in there, and it is really unsatisfying. And I don't think that's what Jesus Christ wanted when he said, eat of my body.
Yeah, he wanted his body to taste like the honey wheat bread I had at Mosaic circa 2009.
Yeah, like, I know, when I first came out I'm a snack.
Jesus, the ultimate snack? Is that where we're going with that?
The ultimate snack. We've been snacking on him for centuries.
The true and perfect snack, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Well, from
I didn't comment because it felt blasphemous. I was like, it's not my place to say anything about Jesus being delicious.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I mean, was Jim Caviezel jacked in Passion of the Christ? I don't remember if he had like a
I mean, he wasn't. I wouldn't say jacked. Thin. Like he didn't have big muscles, but he was cut.
He was cut.
Like he, yeah.
Yeah, he was wiry. I was aware that he was still Jim Caviezel. I'll say that.
Okay.
At moments before I sobbed for a long time.
Wait, did you cry watching that movie?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Would you not cry? You didn't cry?
I did not cry.
No, I was a young person in my like probably peak of Christian fervor.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't cry, you're going straight to hell, honestly.
I know, and I cried at Lincoln strongly last night, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Now, muster up feelings for hello.
Daniel Day-Lewis is Jesus Christ. Hello, my body, my blood. Well, Alex, from a parentless man to a parent, oh, I wish you the best in your spiritual journey. I really do trust you as a person to be able to,
well, thank you,
teach your children well with that stuff and to create safety. Like, I think it's going to be okay. Like, I think you're going to have a shit ton of other issues that have nothing to do with religion, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. We already do. Like, there's already plenty of other parental issues that don't have to do with this.
Terrific. Well, let's talk about them off mic. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with,
yeah,
the new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that,
right,
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Before we get to the main meat, Alex, if you could, for our listeners, please, could you recap for us the segment that you do on your show, Reply All? Yes, yes, no. What is that format on your show, Reply All?
Our boss, his name is Alex Bloomberg. He's in his early to mid-50s. And he's like a normal early to mid 50 year old. Like he's not super focused on the petty dramas of the internet. And so every once in a while, he'll see something that is like totally inscrutable to him. And he'll get in touch with us and say like, hey, can you explain what this means? And we will then, we then can make a segment out of, if it's good enough, we can make a segment out of trying to sort of explain to him a usually sort of like an inside joke that then unfurls to be a big online drama.
It's
okay,
the best.
And it's a great format. You've had people like Jason Mantzoukas as guests on the show for that format. And here on Good Christian Fun, we wanted to pay tribute to you and to the show. And so it's time now for a quick segment we're calling Yes, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Where we're going to read a Bible verse and see if the panel can figure out what it means. And we'll go round robin and see if we understand it.
Oh, I'm very excited for this.
Okay.
I have my eyes closed. I'm focusing really
hard. You do have your eyes closed, yeah.
I really want to be able to track this one.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? Caroline, do you understand these verses?
Jesus. This is the first you chose? Oh my God.
Yeah.
What chapter is this?
This is 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2.
I'm at a yes.
Okay.
I say.
Yeah, okay, Caroline's a yes. Alex, are you a yes or a no?
I mean, I understand a lot of the words in there. It seems like someone's being kind of a hypocrite. I get that from it.
Yes.
But the larger context of it, I'm a big no. I don't know what Corinthians are or what it is. Are Corinthians a type of people? Is it like a fruit? What are Corinthians?
They are
I know
people.
About rich Corinthian leather.
People from the city of Corinth.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes. So there was a church, I suppose, in Corinth. And I'm guessing Paul wrote this book because I just assume he wrote all the New Testament. And he wrote this to that church as a way to like tell them what to do.
So Alex is kind of a no,
I'm pretty heavily a no, I'd say. Okay. Also, can I just say like, there's a real Dewey Decimal System vibe to the way that the books are numbered and chaptered and versed.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's too many numbers to it.
Too many numbers. I agree.
Yeah. That's why the kind of more modern paraphrases of it, just take out the numbers altogether. It's just like a chapter. There's
some. Message doesn't have like verse numbers on it, right?
The Message really mixes it up, and there's a translation called The Voice where in some parts it's formatted like a screenplay, which is
no.
That sounds kind of cool, honestly.
Exterior, nothingness. It's Genesis 1.
Interior, your body, your soul
Interior,
says.
Interior, your heart.
Okay. Wow.
All right. But I want to know what's going on with these Corinthians.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Alex, you're going to have to do your own research on that. And that's how we play Yes, Yes, Lord. We wanted to mirror the evangelical church in which we don't let people ask questions. And
and everything is up to personal interpretation anyway.
That's
so
right.
It doesn't matter.
But now it's time for us to transition into the main meat of the show. It's the format we call Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
A jingle that took, I think, 45 minutes to write in GarageBand, and then I never updated it after that.
Wow. I like it.
Singles Ministry.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Singles Ministry is the format in which we take one single song from one band and then we talk about it, listen to a little bit of it. We've all listened to it before the show and then we give it a holy roast or holy toast ourselves.
Yes.
The song.
It's also a play on the real thing that a lot of churches do, which is to have a church service or a meeting just for single people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as cruel as it sounds.
Yeah, that sounds rough.
it's the Christian equivalent to a key party, hopefully, in some ways.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key to your heart. Alex, are you? We were talking about this before, but you have had no exposure to Christian pop culture at all, pretty much, in your life.
Yeah, not much. I didn't really know. I mean, this is going to sound naive, but like I was too old for VeggieTales, so I didn't really know.
Oh, look at this guy, Caroline. He's too cool for VeggieTales. Doesn't want.
No, I didn't say cool. I said old. I was too old.
Okay, you were not cool at all, but you would pass the appropriate age window for.
Yeah, I don't think they started doing it until the 90s. I was in high school.
Okay,
I was too old for VeggieTales, but like I didn't realize that it was a Christian thing until long after I recognized the faces of the veggies from just osmosis.
That's amazing that their reputation has gotten to the point that people know who they are, but they don't know that they're Christian. I don't know. It's just amazing to me. Like
Chris Pratt. People know who he is. Actually, I think everyone knows he's a Christian.
I think everybody knows now. Yeah.
I think his Christianity has had the highest ascendancy in the last 6 months.
I wonder if the creators
really?
Of VeggieTales...
Really? What happened in the last 6 months?
Oh, good.
During the election cycle, there was a Democratic Party fundraiser that the entire cast of Parks and Recreation participated in, except for Chris Pratt. Aziz and Rob Lowe, I think. And that was one of those things. And then there was a Democrat Party fundraiser that all the Avengers participated in, and then he did not participate in it as well. And so people I think caught wise to the fact that he goes to a church that's not affirming of queer people. He is a conservative Christian man himself. He married a Schwarzenegger, for goodness sake. Although I guess that could be a whole potpourri of different kinds of political perspectives. But
right.
Mm-hmm. But and then recently, as of this week, RIP Chris Pratt was trending for no reason other than people just don't like him.
Man, people really turned the tide
they
on
did.
Him
Something
like really yeah, fast. Yeah, he was extremely popular.
Yeah, but I have a feeling Jurassic World 3 is going to turn this all around. But yes, okay, so minimal involvement, you told me you had heard of DC Talk before, but that's...
I'd heard of DC Talk, and they're like a rap group, right? Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah, but it's a little bit more than that, Alex. They're kind of...
They're a rap group.
They combined rap and rock, creating a different kind of genre altogether.
A rap-rock fusion.
Ripe.
So it's like the Judgment Night soundtrack.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Judgment Night was a very bad movie starring... Dennis Leary was the bad guy in it. It was like a movie about some guys who get lost on the way home from a basketball game. They see a drug deal gone bad, and Dennis Leary is the drug dealer. He shoots someone, and then he spends the rest of the movie chasing them through like the bad part of town. Ooh. But the real hook for the movie was that the soundtrack was rap group, very popular rap groups and very popular rock bands of the day doing songs together. So it was like De La Soul and My Bloody Valentine.
And if you look at the poster for Judgment Night, it does align with the members of DC Talk in a way. We got Michael Tate. We got Toby Mack. And we got Kevin Snacks.
It is 100% like one for one.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s Michael.
Even the look.
Dennis Toby Mack.
Although I'd say he's got a little bit of a Kevin Max going on as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Kevin Max is kind of like a glam rock.
But if you, I see the picture right here: Helmet and House of Pain, Teenage Fan Club, De La Soul, Sonic Youth and Cypress Hill,
Slayer and like Ice-T, back at it again.
Mudhoney and Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Wow. Man. Oh my God, they got such great music.
Music really used to be better, didn't
Same
it?
Same movie.
Now all we have is Ariana Grande and freaking...
It's so funny. It's so... By the way, her name is Ariana Grande.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry to disrespect you like that.
But I remember when we were like... That must have come out when I was 11 or 12. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. That they did this. This perfect... embodiment of all the good music that's out right now exists.
All the good music.
And it fucking sucks. If you go back and listen to it, it is bad.
There's no way.
It is bad.
It slaps. I don't know. It sounds like my kind of movie. When you were describing it, I was like, yeah, I'd be into that.
This is going to be Caroline's favorite movie when
it's she not bad.
Watches it.
Yeah.
You should
watch
it. I
like that kind of stuff.
Bad.
So we had you listen to a song called Shine by The Newsboys. And just to give a quick recap of who The Newsboys are.
I was very curious. I did not look because I was like, I want all of this to be explained on mic. But please, The Newsboys is not, it's not hitting as a name. Like, it's not great.
Wow. You mean the search engine optimization of Newsboys doesn't do it for you?
That is harsh.
No. I mean that it's just not a great name for a band.
Newsboys?
I mean, I don't know.
Is the news that they're spreading the news
the
of
the good news
the Lord?
Of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Okay, yeah,
Alex.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And they have their little...
You say, yeah, okay. Like, that isn't just like a perfect tie.
Like, you're not just
a
salivating
meaningful
to read
name.
That front page headline.
To me,
extra,
that also puts
extra.
You with Newsies and Christian Bale and that whole Disney prestige, you know? It's nice.
Yeah, because Newsboys dress like dorks, and that's what I thought of when I heard the name of Newsboys. Like suspendies
like
and a cap.
I wonder if they regret not naming their band Newsies, because they could have.
Yeah.
They could have named it Newsies.
Newsies.
And then it would have gotten all mixed up with everyone's Disney film nostalgia of the film of the same name, the musical with Christian Bale. And then that might have elongated their...
Through time and, immortal, basically.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. So maybe they regret that.
But I wonder if Newsies sounds too cute, but Newsboys also sounds cute, you know?
Newsies, that's for kids. We're Newsboys. Extra, extra, read all about it. So the Newsboys, Alex, is a group hailing from Australia. They are Australian men. They are all from there. The front man and Mr. Baldy himself, Peter Furler, he's kind of the, it's actually been through a few iterations. We should back it up. I think they started in the late 80s, early 90s. And they had songs like I'm Not Ashamed of Jesus Christ and kind of like they were like Jesus can be cool and we're going to do it in all these interesting different sort of styles, including in this song we're listening to today. It's sort of like dance hall, like Moby B-side sort of techno phase, techno rock phase. We've coined them as sort of the evangelical Wiggles in a way because they had super high energy live shows in which they'd be dancing around one of their big stunts that they continued to do to this day. And we know this because Caroline and I did see them 3 years ago at the, not the Palladium. What's the venue?
The Wiltern?
We saw them at the Wiltern in 2018. And one of their big stunts is they get their drummer gets on a drum riser and then the riser lifts off the stage and then tilts. So then you're looking down at him at a 90 degree angle playing his drums as he's buckled in and they'll like spin the drum machine around.
Yeah, and then it spins.
And it's very
that
cool.
That was so cool.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
It was amazing.
But
they're
Australian men that do essentially novelty songs and super catchy. You know, they collaborated on this album. This is from an album called Going Public from 1994. So that kind of places us in the mid-90s timeline, which you can kind of hear in the instrumentation.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say a lot of their songs are geared towards preteens and children is what it feels like to me. And then contemporary Christian radio, which was very friendly to them, but very broad. And in fact, you can see when you look up concert clips, because they released a concert film, I think in 1999 or 2000, where they played in Houston, Texas, and they are 100% lip syncing. The lead singer is lip syncing, which is, this isn't a boy band or like a female pop star where there's so much choreography where it's like they literally have to lip sync because they're out of breath. It's just they're lip syncing.
When you saw them, were they lip syncing?
We couldn't tell, but I think definitely certain parts, right? We were going back and forth on this when we saw them.
Yeah, I mean, they sounded really sharp and I mean, not musically sharp, like crisp.
The vocals sounded too perfect is the problem.
Yeah, the vocals didn't sound like old. You know how like your voice just ages too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. But it didn't sound like them as, you know, young men either. I don't know. Maybe it was a later recording or something. But I wouldn't
also,
put it past them.
Also, was the crowd mostly preteens when you were there? Or are they a nostalgia act at this point?
They are a nostalgia act at this point. It is people
but
our
age. But it
wasn't
a lot
older.
Of families. Yeah. It was like it looked like a lot of like mommy daughter dates or daddy son dates.
A lot like, of daddy son
of,
dates. My favorite
lot of dates.
Kind of date.
A lot of people that were there, or like a group that maybe was like coming from church or whatever. So yeah, it was like a big reunion, is what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had much success throughout the '90s, And then into the 2000s, and then their lead singer, Peter Furler, left. Although there was another lead singer before him, a guy named John James, who like does co-lead vocals on the song with him, which you cannot tell, but at one point it does switch over to a different guy going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So he leaves. He had a drug addiction. I think they covered it up with like, he's going to be a missionary, spending time with his
Peter
family.
Peter Furler did?
No, John James did. Peter Furler takes James over in the 90s. Right. And then Peter Furler leaves, and then the aforementioned DC Talk, Michael Tate from that band... That band had been broken up for a while. He joins the Newsboys as their lead frontman and lead singer, and then takes the Newsboys in a more explicitly conservative direction, in which they provide the title track to the God's Not Dead trilogy, which is about, you know, liberal college professors being mean to Christian children and bullying them
and being saved.
God kills them with a car.
I think I know about God's Not Dead. I get it confused with what's it called? The Colton Burpo.
Colin Burpo. Oh, that's Heaven Is For Real. Yes.
Heaven Is For Real. God's Not Dead. Can you understand why I would be confused?
They're no.
Basically the same title.
No, different titles really. Entirely. No. I don't understand at all.
also, the name Colton Burpo.
Colton Burpo really is the best
Colton
part
Burpo.
Of that.
Man, I forgot about the joy of Colton Burpo. Colton really, Burpo.
It's really like, I don't know if you've ever read my Twitter feed, but it's mostly gibberish. And
anytime we get a Burpo in there.
And Colton Burpo is a name that I remember back in the good old days of Twitter before before it just became everybody fighting over politics. Someone photoshopped a screenshot of Colton Burpo on a talk show and it changed his name to Brumpo Tungus. Just because it just sounded similarly weird. And that was like one of the funniest things I'd ever seen at that point in my life. Anyway.
Wait, have you seen Heaven Is
got
For
it,
Real?
Got Heaven Is For Real.
Yeah.
There you go, Brumpo Tungus.
There he
the
is.
Wickedly talented.
Brumpo Tungus. Wait.
I love this. This rules.
And then if you look, his Brumpo dad is next to him and it says his name is Busco Tungus.
Oh my gosh. Someone that named
would be
their band
that.
In
the movie.
Let's go, Dungus.
Someone check in on Colton. Is he a TikTok star yet? Is he dating, you know, massive
beer? Yeah, how old
beer?
Is he now? He would be probably
in his 40
teens,
now.
Early
he
20s.
He would be 40 or 50 now, if my math's not wrong.
I went to Google him, but I accidentally typed Brumpo Tungus.
Damn. That will never know what happened to
Colton,
him.
Colton, if you're listening, we love you. We want you to come on the show. We won't
yes.
bore at you. Wink. And
wink.
We're going to have a great time with you. But yes,
hold on a second.
Yes.
Distractify.com.
Okay.
Where's the little boy whose experience inspired
yes.
Heaven Is For Real
Thank
today?
You. See, this is why we have a journalist on the show.
Where's Colton Burpo?
What
now?
Happened to Colton Burpo? Colton Surgery. This is one of those sites that makes you scroll down forever to figure out where
it.
He is.
A whole list.
Colton graduated from Victory College. What is that? Is that a religious college?
Doesn't it sound like a religious college?
It does.
I'll look that up.
He lives
while you're
in Eagle County.
That.
Since his experience, he regularly travels a lot to cities like New York and Los Angeles to spread his story and appear on television. Sounds like he's doing the same shit.
Yeah, Victory College, by the way, comes up on Google as Affordable Christian Education, an independent 2-year Bible college.
His family also established Heaven Is For Real Ministries, where you can connect with the family, send in prayer requests, book them to
wow.
speak at your church.
Wow, he's still.
And if we want the good
thing.
Stuff, we go to the Instagram.
Look
this
at
is,
him.
This is Burpo today.
Oh my God.
At Colton 59 bio. Christ follower with a unique personality and perspective. In that okay. I died and saw heaven and I came back. That's my
Wait, what's his link tree take you to? I want to see that.
Wait, he is has it, an OnlyFans? Wait.
Heaven Is For Real website and prayer requests.
Those are the only two links at his link tree. I was
not even he does. Does he have any merch?
He has podcasts. Okay.
Oh,
let's
GCF.
See. Oh, he was on. Okay. He was interviewed on.
He
podcast.
Was on. Please be seated with his gallon.
His Damn. Podcast highlight is two slides.
It's the cover image and then that. Okay.
Yes.
So we could get him on GCF. Like he.
Easily. Okay.
He's booking.
37 weeks ago was his last post. And it was a verse and then some generic inspirational.
Oh.
This past year has been crazy. God's been leading me in a direction that I didn't plan for. Is it back to heaven? Colton. He's closed doors in some areas while opening new ones for my new season. I'm grateful for those who have been pouring into me.
Okay, so this is his professional Instagram. We need to find his real Finsta. Instagram. Yeah. Yes.
You think he's got a Finsta?
He's posted on the 37 weeks ago, and this is a young man who's got a unique personality and things to say. There's no way he's not popping off on social media as much as possible.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe he is. Maybe he's normal.
He has a 2-year Bible degree.
Wait, this is all. His grid is small. Oh, man.
Wait, what's the one with him in that fancy lighting? Go up a little higher.
Up to the right.
Oh, here
we
go.
What is this?
Looking forward to this weekend. If y'all don't know, there's a Christmas production going at Victory Tulsa this weekend. Oh, of course. They all end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma for some reason. It was awesome to be a part of this process. They'll have plenty of showings and they'll live stream it on victory.com.
He's doing some
Christmas.
Acting too.
Okay, so he looks to be like a sort of like Roman soldier or a Bible Times person. The story of Christmas.
It's the
story
he's
of been
Christmas.
Acting since he was a child. So,
so probably not a Roman soldier. They're probably not spoiling the ending of Christ's life.
Well, we wish him well, truly.
We wish you the best, Colton. We love you. Please come on, and we'll be so nice to you.
Please.
And it'll make it, you know what? You're going to have such a good time. You're going to believe heaven is for real again. And
you're going to believe it's here on earth.
Yeah, you're going to write a book about how you went on our show and came back. Newsboys is the band that wrote and sang the song Shine. Let's listen to a little bit of this song that was essentially an anthem for children's ministries, vacation Bible schools, and youth groups across the country. Or maybe across multiple countries. Maybe it wasn't just North America. Drum loop. And Alex, you're a musician, so I want you to tell us what you can, pay attention to and sort of notice about the arrangements and the instrumentation.
This song is just like, there are a lot of pop songs from around this time that sound a lot like this. The first time I heard, you know that song by the New Radicals, You Only Get What You Give?
Yeah.
That was the first thing I thought of when I thought of it, when I heard this. And then I thought immediately of Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Very Tub Thumpy, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of the verse and this gorgeous vocal. I tried you made, there isn't a way to explain the kind of change that'd make an Eskimo red apple, that'd make a vegetarian barbecue hamster. Less you can trace this other face to a certain sign. Shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking for. All right. So,
were you mouthing the words to the song, Caroline?
Only because I have the lyrics in front of me. But yes.
Oh, okay. Not because you actually know them.
That's my motivation.
I thought I knew them, and then I actually looked them up for the first time in my entire life, and I was shocked. I was shook. I was not prepared.
I didn't even know the lyrics to the chorus, but I knew that the melody is a sort of I guess it's an evil earworm because it's been with me for 20 years, 20+ years at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, seriously.
Da 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 da.
I immediately went into my attic and learned how to play it on guitar.
You did?
True. And that's how we'll end the show, just like Mark Maron playing Boomer Lives at the end of the
riff.
And to contextualize it, they're working with this songwriter named Steve Taylor. And Steve Taylor, in the 80s and 90s in the Christian music world, was considered the weird guy. He was the one that kind of brought a different sort of color and sense of humor.
Is that why they talk about a vegetarian eating a barbecued hamster?
I think that's his influence, yes, because
he's
producing
this. Well, if you're not ready
this.
For anything kind of out there or different or special, Alex, then yeah, this isn't going to be the song for you.
So that moment, first of all, guys, Eskimo, not okay. It's not the word.
We don't say
you're
it now.
You're not supposed to use that word anymore. I don't know if that was the case in the mid-90s, but I'm still chastising them for it. Second of all, that line sucks. That line, the first time I heard it, I was like, because I listened to it once while I was doing the dishes. And I was like, oh,
twice,
just like a
breaking the dishes.
I was like, oh, this is just rando. This is like Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.
Yes.
Style.
Right, lyrics. Their influence. And that's a song that came out after Shine. So I'm saying like this was influential, actually.
But upon second listen and actually looking at the lyrics, I was like, oh, I get what's going on here. This is a song about being so into God that people are going to be jealous of you.
That
yeah,
weird.
Or they will like forsake the core tenets of their personality in order.
The way I read the lyrics, if you look at the lyrics, can I bring them up?
Please.
Give me just a second.
Yeah.
The lyrics are dull as dirt. You can't assert the kind of light that might persuade a strict dictator to retire. Fire the army. Teach the poor origami. Which, like, why would you teach the poor origami?
Because
it's a really good thing and helpful thing to
do. I don't know anything about Christianity, but I know that, like, I know that like the poor don't need origami. They need other shit.
The opposite of being a dictator is doing crafts.
Do you think it's a critique? Do you think it's like, you know what? These Christian missionaries, they come into these cultures and tribes that they don't understand. And
that's
like,
exactly.
Let's
that's
paint
exactly.
a school. And it's like, this isn't what we need. We actually need water. We need running water.
So then it's like, in try as you may, there is no way to explain the kind of change that would make a Eskimo renounce mm-hmm. fur, make a vegetarian barbecue hamster. And then the chorus is shine, make them wonder what you got, make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. The idea is like, if you radiate the contentedness that one feels in God's light or whatever, mm-hmm. people will naturally see it and be unable to resist it.
That's right.
Alex, you basically encapsulated my entire adolescence and young adulthood right there.
How did it go? Did you get any converts?
I think my body count was maybe 1.5.
Oh my God. I love referring to people you converted as your body count. That's the Christian body count.
But truly, people did like quote numbers. Like, it wasn't how many people you had sex with, it was like how many people you had witnessed to, I think was what people would say. But yeah, no, this song is that, like, that idea of whatever you may be going through, feeling, actually want to do, be so irresistibly cool, calm, happy, etc., that people will just, yeah, they'll drop everything they've got and they'll come to God. They'll glorify him.
The chorus, I will say, the scriptural root for the chorus is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew 5:16, which says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But it does get recontextualized and recrystallized. Listen, Jesus is pretty weird, right? And so once you have him inside you, you're going to do some weird things that the other kids aren't going to understand. But they're going to be curious when they see you. They're going to be like, he's different from the other guys.
Different.
She's different from
What's
the other
on?
Girls. And you're not going to be annoying about it. You're not going to be an obnoxious jerk. But you're going to do stuff that's so fucking weird that they're going to be like, I got to get a piece of that, whatever that is. I need to dig in. Wait, who's this Jesus guy? Tell me more about him, Kevin. That's the sort of hope and the idea. And this song, as trite as it is, I think is essentially the sort of evangelical idea that Caroline and I truly did have, and so many people in our whatever generation or age bracket truly did have, is like, hey, live your life and there's going to be something a little different about you, and you're not going to be obnoxious and like yell at people at street corners, but people are going to notice. You're going to have friends and then ask questions, and then you can talk to them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how it works. And mm-hmm. did it work that
That's
way?
Being
not
a light.
Really.
Not at all. No, it just made you not have as many friends as you would have normally. Also, this wouldn't be, you know, a 90s Christian song critiquing the culture if there wasn't a mention of Oprah.
Yes, everyone's so mad at Oprah.
This is not the first time that we've had a song talk about Oprah in it, right?
No, that was Casting
Crowns.
What is
the Christian beef with Oprah?
Because she's, I think, honestly, because a lot of men in faith are threatened by influential woman of color.
Honestly, yeah. Well, yeah, it's probably some racism. And it is a little bit.
But she's,
of,
Christian
she's a thought leader.
Is what's but so funny.
But that's what bothers people, or at least what I remember bothering people was like, she's Christian, but she also incorporates like some of the secret and a little bit of like some new age stuff. And so a lot of people saw that as like bastardizing Christianity and then leading people fully away from Christianity as a result. Yeah. And so she was, and because she had so much influence and people really looked up to her, it really threatened a lot of Christian leaders at the time that she was professing to be Christian, but was like making space for a pluralistic view of that, you know?
So as a, to, like, long story short, it's a mix of misogyny, racism, and just like kind of
the perfect
theological snobbery. In
a little
sense.
Angostura bitters and delicious.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the Christian faith, baby. Yes. Oprah freaks, science seeks a rationale that shall excuse the strange
behavior. It's science geeks.
Science geeks. Again, science. I draw a clear line from then to now where honestly, science is a loaded political, religious, or anti-religious word. It's not just like math. It's not just one and one is two. Science. Ugh, yeah. There's a science geek over here.
They're just like skeptics. You know?
Yes. So also the thesis of this song is so similar to DC Talk's most popular song, Jesus Freak, yes. Which is, what will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find out it's true? I don't even care if they label
really
me a
care.
Jesus freak. Where it's like, again, Jesus is going to like fuck your shit up so much that people are going to notice and they're, gonna, they're not going to understand or they're going to be curious. And you're a freak. And we let that... that flag fly.
I mean, to me, that sounds to me like a, that's like a theme that is pretty universal about being a freak, about being not understood.
Yeah. Like
that
any feels, subculture you think has this kind of attitude about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's songs about, you know, about being someone who is too weird and no one gets you that are secular. I can,
but it's the point of those songs, like, but the weirdness will be what people are drawn to and then they will want to be a part of your weirdness.
I think the thing is like just be yourself because there's you don't have any choice.
Yeah.
You know, Katy Perry wants you to be a firework and show them what you're worth.
Yeah.
Katy Perry, Christian singer.
I wanted to point out my favorite couplet in this song, which was that would make you'll inspire the world an entire turnaround that would make a bouncer take ballet, even bouncers who are unhappy. And I love that we spent more time on these bouncers and their emotional life than the dictator, than Oprah, than science people, all of them. Like, it was like, even these bouncers that are going through a hard time.
Here's my question. I don't know. Maybe you can speak to this, Alex, in remembering the culture better than I did when I was a 5-year-old. Was the line that would make a bouncer take ballet, even bouncers who aren't happy, wink, is that even bouncers who aren't, is there like some sort of queer implication? Like is it a euphemism for even bouncers, like, you know, who aren't gay would take ballet? Even like straight bouncers?
I don't think so.
No?
That's a real...
No. The only bouncer I can think of in the culture is what is Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse, and he was like the
straightest man alive.
He was like the height of masculinity in that movie.
Yeah, like that. I think that's more the point of it. Yeah, it's like a bouncer couldn't be more beefy, more manly than that. And look at him playing.
This is also
ballet.
Influenced by going to genius.com and looking up this song, and the only footnote is for the word happy, and it says gay.
Kevin.
But I'm wondering, I don't know if it's some sort of slang that I'm just not aware of.
I don't know.
And they're like saying something strangely homophobic. I don't know.
Unhappy means...
No, not unhappy. The lyric isn't unhappy, it's happy.
Oh, it isn't? Oh, then my Google translation is wrong.
Unless my Google is wrong. Oh boy, we got a real conundrum here.
We got a real Google v Google.
I just Googled, are bouncers gay?
Uh-huh.
Because I have never heard of a correlation between those homosexuality and bouncing.
No, not bouncers, but the word happy, like even bouncers who aren't happy.
Oh, you mean the word happy being?
Yes, that's what I mean. I don't mean bouncers is a shorthand for a queer person. I mean happy.
Okay, I was confused.
As being like fae or like, you know, like that sort of thing.
Wow. This is a real textual analysis of this line about the bouncers. I mean, I see it.
Well, it's strange. You were right to point out, like, why spend the time saying even bouncers who aren't happy. That's what I mean. I don't mean to say anything offensive or incendiary.
No, I don't think you're being
I'm just
offensive.
Trying to get to the bottom.
I'm just trying to, like, you know, get to the moment where the Newsboys were like, we have to talk about queer people in this song as well, and the fact that they will turn to dance because they will be so inspired by the Lord, something that they never like.
No, but it's not a queer person. He's saying even bouncers who aren't happy. So it's like even straight bouncers. That's what I'm saying. Even bouncers who aren't happy.
Hold on a second. I'm on a website called whitewashedfeminism.wordpress.com.
Nice. Oh,
you found my blog.
And it says, and it sounds like it looks like it's a Christian site, and they really hate this song.
Oh.
They are doing a critique of this song.
Wow.
They really hate the schizophrenic thing. We really have issues with accepting mental illness within many Christian circles.
Oh, dude,
we
need to talk about that part. Yeah.
I know that this was an attempt to be funny, but a schizophrenic has serious mental illness that is more than just crayons and will need far more than just faith to cure. I agree. And then they quote, you know, that couplet, and this person says, what you can't hear in the written lyrics is that it's quite obvious that happy doesn't rhyme with ballet. There's a lengthy pause between the words aren't and happy, and that they're using something else to avoid talking about, you know, the gay.
Oh.
And I just can't roll my eyes hard enough.
Okay, because it's like, oh, it's like a fake rhyme, like succotash and kiss my butt. Like, it's almost like, oh, of course we would know this rhyme. We go ballet, gay, happy. But he does say it like happy, so it's not even a fake
bouncers.
I'm not saying bouncers.
But like, why would he put that together?
It's
now we're back to the search of like, are bouncers gay? Because I think that's what we need to know. I can't.
And this is what we'll ask Michael Tate when we have him on the show.
Oh my God. I'm going to be thinking about this for like a long time.
Oh my Lord.
I'm on songmeetings.com and there's nothing about that particular line.
No, there's not. Trust
but there
me.
Is a lot of, I love this song. The lyrics are pure brilliance and the message is clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the music video, by the way?
No, I just listened to the song.
I did. It starts with a woman in kabuki Japanese theater makeup eating a hamster.
I think she's in geisha.
Or excuse me, geisha makeup.
I think she's
right.
Geisha wear. Yeah, which is like, okay. Maybe just the existence of that isn't an issue, but I don't love it on this Newsboys music video that was very like avant-garde, I think is what they were going for.
Yeah, because they're so weird. Because Jesus, Carolina, aren't you interested in why?
Yeah, like they're so freaky deaky, though. But I was gonna point out that the schizophrenic line gets a long visual like gag in that music video of like a guy
in a straitjacket.
In a straitjacket, yeah. like running around, and then everybody else who's in the music video, including like a deadhead, and. The dictator are like laughing at him, and then he gets pulled by his feet like up to the ceiling, like he just like walks out of frame, and that is really freaking not cool. You need to teach children that's terrible.
That's rough,
man. Jamila, if she listened to this song, she would have some
she'd be furious.
Words to say.
Well, she would get schizophrenia. She would realize that she has it.
Third B attack.
Not a dig on schizophrenia.
Wait, what's the bee attack thing?
Jamila.
Oh, boy.
How do I even break this down? There were two different instances in which she got attacked by bees, according to her. Because someone said, oh, I think you were lying about this in an interview. And she said, no, I wasn't lying. There were actually two different instances in which I was attacked by a swarm of bees. Because people went through like, oh, she kind of Man, this is really taking me back. I miss this. This is like two years ago.
this was the good old days for Kev.
This is really pre-pandemic, just beautiful. Like, those were the salad days, man. People were just exposing Jamila.
Something to talk about.
Yeah, but they went through like, oh, she lied about all these diseases or was like really weird with the truth about some of them, at least, including this thing about getting attacked by bees. She describes it this way here and another way here where it like doesn't match up. And she reconciled it by saying, no, those are two different attacks. Those are two different attacks by swarms of bees. So
sometimes lightning strikes twice in the same spot, you know?
Love and respect to her. Man, I need to check in on her. I don't know what she's up to.
Yeah, what's she been up to?
She's
I feel like
real
she pissed
quiet.
Everyone off nonstop for about a
non-stop.
Year.
Nonstop.
I feel like maybe her and Lin-Manuel Miranda got a new publicist at the same time because they both got real silent in the last 6 to 8 months, social media-wise.
No, she's still tweeting about the issues.
Oh, well, I can't wait. Let's make her trend again with this podcast.
Instagram bio. And, okay, good. Yep.
What else do we want to say about this song? Any final thoughts before we give it a roaster toast? It's Shine. The music is aggressively straight down the middle.
Bouncy.
Wait, is it dancehall? Or am I thinking of a different thing, Alex?
It's rhythm.
It's not, well, it's not
it's
rhythm.
It's a Caribbean flavor.
Do I need to respect Peter Furler's neck?
I feel like
this
anything
is Chet
I say
Hanks
here.
Culture.
I can't win this. Yeah. It just sounds like a pop song to me.
I guess so. Also, yeah. I was gonna say the lyrical thing is almost like ironic by Alanis Morissette, another early mid-90s.
Yeah.
Where you're just listing a bunch of things. It's an example of this. It's an example of this. Here's something that would make someone do something weird. So I miss
I will say
songs.
That if they didn't have the lines, let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. This could easily be a secular song.
I know.
This could really. And that's all it would take.
That's what's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, because it
about
could be a real be yourself song, like you said.
Yeah.
Shine.
Which is
just
never
be
the
yourself. It's cool.
Of evangelical Christianity.
And your friends will think you're cool and they'll invite you out to lunch or whatever. That'd be great. Okay, well, let's give it a roaster toast. And the way this works, Alice, is we're going to give it a holy toast. Or holy roast. Holy toast, that is a thumbs up from the Good Christian Fun podcast. That's when we send it all the way to heaven, where the angels will be toasting it for eternity. Heaven bound. Along with, Brumpotungus up there when he's there a little bit. Holy roast, we send it down all the way to hell. I thought
Oprah will be very soon.
Or Oprah's, I got a one-way ticket, baby.
Oh my God.
For preaching a false gospel. Caroline, we'll start with you. What do you give this song?
You know, truly, if I had never read the lyrics and found out what was in the verses, I would have given this such a confident toast. Because this is like a fun song, you know, that I've heard over the years and have always kind of enjoyed. But I'm going to get sincere for a second, too, because the lyrics and the idea of this song of, you know, performing your faith or your joy or your extreme happiness so that other people are drawn to your faith and join because of that gave me a lot of issues. And I'm still unpacking that now of like making mistakes or not pleasing everybody or not being perfect or making everybody feel really good after they talk to me. Is not healthy. It's not a great way to be, and it is very performance based rather than like a natural, authentic expression of how you feel every day in your faith. And so I don't like the message of the song. I don't like the lyrics of the song. I love the beat, but it's gonna get a roast. It's gonna go to hell.
I love the beat is going in our theme song next week.
You're gonna change it to I love to beat.
My husband. All right, we'll turn it to Alex.
God, it feels tough to follow that because that was genuinely sincere. I mean, the song kind of slaps.
Please be insincere. It's so good.
No, the lyrics are awful.
Yeah, the
message once decoupled from the Christianity stuff is actually pretty good.
Could be
it's just like, it's like, fuck the haters, be yourself. That I like.
Yeah.
It feels like saying,
make a safe space for dictators.
Right.
Normalize dictators in 2021.
Changing their minds.
roasting it feels like I'm roasting tub thumping, and again, that feels like a bad. You know that? What's do you know that Chumbawamba also were like crazy, super political revolutionaries?
Yeah, they were like punk rock weirdos, and tub thumping was the outlier in their career.
Wow. So that song was supposed to be about like the incredible resilience of the proletariat, and like, wow. And like about how it no matter how, but like their first album was called Pictures of Starving Children Sell Records. That is Chumbawamba's political viewpoint. and I remember there's this kid, Matt, I went to high school with, who was like, you got to check this. This was before Tub Thumping came out. He was like, you got to check this band out. They're so good. And he gave me the thing. And I was like, no, this is really bad, shitty, like disco dance garbage. Like, this sucks. And he was like, but like, you got to listen to the lyrics. And I was like, I can't, like, I cannot listen to the lyrics of this music because the music is so bad. But roasting the song feels like roasting Tub Thumping. I can't do it. I have to toast it. I also don't want to send anyone to hell.
Whoa.
That feels like a big deal.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, very compassionate.
A universalist on the pod.
Oh, okay. Well, have fun with Oprah. I'm sure we'll be holding hands on the way down.
I'm toasting it because I feel like I, not having experienced what you experienced in Christianity, I can separate myself from.
It's totally valid.
That notion.
Yes.
And also love the beat, just like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and we love that beat.
All right, that's going on the theme song next week as well. Putting Alex in there, baby.
Yeah, yay.
I'm giving it a roast. I am unfortunately not being as compassionate as Mr. Goldman, and I'm sending this song to hell. But I do affirm what Alex is saying about the core of the message of the song being good. I think we do want to live lives in ways that have unobnoxious positive effect on those around us, that is not didactic or direct in some ways. Like, we do want to be a positive force in people's lives. I just finished the Mr. Rogers biography today. I've been reading for like a year and a half. And like, that's an example of a guy who like, and he was very religious himself. He was an ordained minister. But someone where it's like, just his being and the kind of person he was is what this song is truly about, where it's like, this guy is, there is this this self-composed power within this man to be as content and to be as loving and giving in the way that he is. And I think that that's aspirational in a lot of ways. And he was a weirdo in some ways I don't like, and he was a weirdo in ways I think are cool. But I would like to aspire to a sort of life that is admirable, that is active and direct in the ways that are appropriate, and then passive and indirect in positive ways that are appropriate too. That being said, I don't think I needed to glorify the Lord. I don't need to talk about people with schizophrenia. I'm certainly not going to eat any motherfucking hamsters. So I will. Wait, what's the gas for, Carolina?
Even with a nice like North Carolina glaze on there with some vinegar sauce, like, ooh.
Wait, Caroline, you're turning me around on this.
Smoked for overnight, you know, for 8 hours, low and slow.
I'd eat a hamster in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah.
I don't like I hate hamsters. I'd fucking eat it. I wouldn't
eat someone's pet.
No. If someone put a plate in front of me that and they were like, this is hamster, I'd be like, great.
Especially if it was on a skewer. For some reason, if a little meat's on a skewer too, I'm just like, absolutely.
But you know what? You know, now that we talked about it and I'm reminded of the happy being a euphemism for gay thing, I'm roasting this song too.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
Unanimous
he stands by his
roast.
Principles.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fuck nice. That. I don't care how much you sound like Tom Thumping.
Hey, everyone watch Q-Force, that CGI movie starring hamsters after we're done here. It'll be like watching Great British Bake Off because our appetites are so salivated for it. Okay, it's a unanimous Holy Roast from the Good Christian Fun Podcast, but we are not the final word. Go to Christian Fun Pod. You can give it a roast or a toast yourself. Get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
We shined, Joe.
We shined. We made him wonder what we had, Joe.
I've always wondering, what has Joe Biden got that I don't have. You
There's
know?
Something about his hair and his weird pulled back him. Face that's different.
Something about his smile.
There's something about the way Kamala Harris is dancing with those boys in blue that kind of strikes me as a little bit interesting.
I want to be a part of that.
I want what Kamala has.
I want what she has.
Deck the halls. Okay, I can't do it. We're bringing it down. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles, Alex. Now we're entering to a more worshipful space. But we're not here to plug ourselves or to promote our own projects. We're here to lift them up to our Lord. And we start, as usual, to Caroline, who is once again...
It.
Okay.
I got it. I'm ready. I am ready.
Was surprised, but she's ready.
She ready. I am Caroline Sparts online. Find me. Our song on TikTok from GCF Second Service continues to be on my TikTok. And unfortunately... A one-second clip that I posted for Property Brothers is vastly outperforming our very hard work that we put in. It is now my most viewed clip. Anyway,
that sounds
so you can check me out there. And then I'm going to lift up a podcast that I have been really enjoying. It's called Lolita Podcast. It's by Jamie Loftus.
So
have
good.
You been listening to it too? Oh, my God.
Friend of the show, I mean, Jamie Loftus, who was on last year.
It's tough subject material, but she handles it with so much clarity and compassion. And there is so much to this story that I never knew, or maybe you've heard about it in passing, and she just delves into the book and the movies and the music and the culture around it and the visuals, and it's just, it's really, it's going to blow you away. It's really, really good. If you can handle it, I highly recommend listening to that.
You know, I listened to her My Year in Mensa podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
As like a lark, just because I follow her on Twitter, and I was like, okay, I'll check this out. And like... I've been in like narrative radio for 7-8 years now, and like I feel like I'm finally getting a handle on like what it's supposed to sound like and how to make it good and like how to like create a narrative and so on and so forth. And like Jamie just is like so good at composing a story, and also just like doesn't have any of the sort of like rigid conventions that I have from coming from public radio.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
The entire My Year in Mensa just has like the air, like the rap air horns all the time in it, which is which is like such a fucking funny joke.
Because she's a comedian too, and she's like, she's a strange comedian, I think I'd argue also, but really smart and really funny. And so her, the podcasts she does are also funny too.
But Lolita Podcast is pretty harrowing, but it's really, really fascinating.
It's amazing. It's so good. A lot of great interviews in there, too. So, really good.
Yes, check it out. Thank you. We'll turn it to Alex.
If you want to find me online, my Twitter handle is A. Goldmund, AGOLDMUND, because A. Goldman was taken. My last name is Goldman, though, so don't get confused by that.
Who the hell is A. Goldman? Should we bully him? Until he gives up.
I think it might actually be a woman whose name is Alex Goldman.
It's Ariella Goldman. Okay, everyone. No. Okay, GCF Army. Stand
GCF
back
five.
And stand by.
No.
Let's swat her.
No, she seems very nice. She's not an anti-masker. She's posting about you should wear two masks. So she seems... Hey, if someone should have it, it's her.
But she's also posting about the Lincoln Project. Go harass her.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm kidding. Don't harass her.
Oh, no.
Did somebody say my name? The Lincoln Project?
It's just an honor.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Okay, my lift up is going to be the... It's corny, but it's in and of itself. And it is good, but you have to watch it this week. It's corny, but it's
good. I want to talk about it with you later. I don't want to talk about it here because it's such an easy to spoil show.
Yeah, don't look up anything about it because it'll be like Nanette in like 8 months where it's like the discourse that's totally poisonous. And even with all the like disclaimers and prerequisites I'm giving right now, it's kind of like that. But just watch it and enjoy. Yeah, in and of itself, it's on Hulu. I'm corny. I am what I am.
That's the impression Nate and I have been doing around the house for a while. Visual. No, I recommend it too, fully.
Visual impression. Okay. Or watch Lincoln, which is on HBO Snacks. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is the Sela Neighborhood Homeless Coalition. Oh, which reminds me, you can go to kevinbaconshop.com if you want some cookies in the Los Angeles County area. I'm now at a manageable amount of deliveries again.
Do it. Make Kevin sweat.
Yeah, make me sweat, baby. It's all I did for 10 days straight. And I hope to
How many orders did you get all at once again?
65.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
So how many cookies is that?
Well, at least multiply it by 6, but there were, like, in some orders, 3 dozen cookies. So I don't know. It was upwards of... you do the math, listener.
1,000.
That's why there was no flour at my Vons this week.
I've baked over 1,500 cookies in the last month. I sound like Papa John's. I've eaten over 40 pieces.
Yeah, I've tried them all. They all taste perfect.
Alex, buddy, thanks so much for doing the show. What
Anytime.
A fun time.
It is such a pleasure. I love you so much, Kevin.
Aw, you too, man. Oh, what a nice time. Thank
I
you
also
for
love you, Caroline.
Light.
Yes. Kevin, put that in the drop.
No. I'm going to bleep that part. And there's nothing left to say
really
except when all
pleasure.
Pods people said,
Amen.
A Goldmund. Okay, let's go out with Shine again. And let this shine us all the way to heaven, where we're going to meet Colton Burpo real soon. What would you call this vocal delivery?
Bad.
Okay. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye. Know what you got. Make a wish that they were not. On the outside looking more.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.